Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One is a football guy obsessed with the Pats and their QB.
Brady can play till he's 50. Changed my mind.
The other, a basketball guy who truly bleeds green.
But goddamn, the one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
Together, they make for a perfectly imperfect pair of Boston sports superfans.
Can we just become best friends? Yep.
It's the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
A lot of anxiety at Fenway Park, I was told.
Some good, some not so good.
I've earned that respect in terms of how great I am as a player.
His performance, I think, is magnetic.
3 hour show. Can I get one third of the show that I host?
We ask our fans to reserve judgment.
I thought I made a friend.
He's what? Not playing strip it and flip it.
You are king of deflection today.
I also love the word cahoots.
But to go public, yeah, that it didn't sit well with me.
Being Nick Stevens and Fitzy is a complicated matter.
Something that you don't do. I totally get.
What the hell is happening to my basketball team?
Nothing and everything.
Whoa, Drew Johnson from the clouds.
From downtown, bang, boom, shakalaka, he's on fire.
Although the question that I posed at the first hour here about how long it takes you to make that open was clearly just answered because you did that in a commercial break. Well done, Drew. Very talented kid back
Nothing
there, huh?
And everything. By the way, that's the new, what, the Oddballs, Saturday with the Oddballs. It's nothing and everything.
It's beautifully done. And that answer, that answer can work for every single question posed on this radio station.
Honestly, I'd prefer it be that way. All right, what did stealing signals earn the Red Sox?
Nothing and everything.
Fitz, you can go home now. We'll just use that, and that'll be fine.
If I have to leave the show a few minutes early to relieve a babysitter since our show got shifted by an hour at the last minute, just whenever you need me, have Drew play my drop.
That's it.
Nothing and everything.
We could have played a game with all the people out there listening. You could have left here, you know, and I want to know at the end of the show, did they know that Fitzy was really gone or not? And I would be very curious. I bet we could incorporate that in, and nobody would know the difference for a short period of time.
I've been dead for years, by the way. This is all coming from the cloud.
You're the same guy that told me you don't want to go see a holographic sort of performance out there, but yet you've been dead and a co-host here on WEEI. How
for
does
years,
that work?
I'm AI.
That's what you are?
I am fully realized.
And that explains your the intelligence level that you bring to the radio station here. You elevate everybody with your intelligence level.
All right, I'm like salt. I'm a flavor enhancer.
It is Sports Radio WEI.
Careful, not too much of me, though.
It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room for you guys here, 617-779-7937. Started the show today talking about the Red Sox and Alex Cora, the cheating scandal, and how that's going to affect this team moving forward. Also talked about the Celtics. Brad Stevens, is he a problem? Is he starting to show the same sort of chinks in the armor that we saw in the playoffs a couple of years ago, that we saw with Kyrie Irving last year as the Celtics? They've struggled here in the last couple of weeks, losing five out of their last seven games. And, of course, talking Tom Brady, talking Patriot football with you, and talking about how the Greg Hill Show, in all their high-rated glory, because, God bless them, their ratings are through the roof right now, but how the Greg Hill Show sort of takes this news that Greg got, and I give him all the credit in the world, okay, for getting the news, and whether it's right or wrong, he had the balls to run with it. But how does that sort of help us figure out where Tom's going to play football next year? That's the part of the story, whether it's Greg Hill, whether it's Gary Tangway, we're all running to our microphones, running to our cameras, saying, I know where Tom is going to pull up into this driveway and call home. But how does that help sort of teach me where he's going to play football next year?
Because nothing and everything.
He'll always be
in my heart. That's what matters most. That's where he'll call home next year.
As we say to ourselves at night, trembling, wondering if there is an apocalyptic future where Tom Brady quarterbacks another team for 1, 2, or 3 years. It's a possibility. Hell, anything's a possibility. It's all on the table, just like all topics are on the table now. And by the way, it's AFC-NFC Championship Sunday, and we haven't even mentioned the two extremely compelling football games that are to be played tomorrow.
And we'll get into that as well here on the Oddballs. But again, Fitzy, you just did what you've done, and it just irks me to no end. I know that when Tom Brady moves and he changes his address, that means you're going to have to send your love letters and your fan mail to a new address, and I know that's hard for you, okay? Because you've memorized the Brookline address, and all the letters have gone there for years, and the hearts and the cards and the Valentine's Day. I get it. You love the man, and now he's going to live somewhere else, and that's going to be a difficult change. But where he lives, and especially if it's in Greenwich, Connecticut, how that it is part of the equation when it comes to us trying to figure out, or Tangway trying to figure out, or Greg Hill trying to figure out where he's playing football next year, I don't understand where Tom Brady calls home, how that applies to where he plays football, especially in a place like Greenwich, Connecticut. It doesn't apply.
It very well may not, but you'd be a fool to say that it's not just a little bit curious.
It would be more curious.
Didn't buy a house in Greenwich in 2014 or 15 when he needed to re-up his contract. Didn't buy one in 2010. Now, granted, I know he hadn't been married for that long or didn't have kids of a particular age.
His kids are older. His kid that he's got with Bridget Moynihan lives in New York. I mean, there's multiple reasons why he's. But as we get older,
and if Mike Vrabel, depending on how long he goes, how long this crazy deep run goes for them in the playoffs, let's just say Mike Vrabel and Tom Brady have had conversations in hallways and alleys and tunnels, post games, pre games, sideline, whether they're planking, doing fake Vrabel push ups, talking about who's going to get their junk cut off if they win a Super Bowl or whatnot. Maybe they've already just said, like, yeah, you know, we'll hook it up next year. And then Brady that way just goes down to Nashville for the week, practices up, comes back home, gets ready for game days, and they make a set of Tom Brady rules. And Vrabel is completely okay with it because that's the veteran presence and leadership he wants as he continues to overhaul his football team. Who knows? The thing is, we would not be having this discussion if they had just given Tom Brady, if they had played by a set of Tom Brady rules up here in the first place.
You're right about
and
that.
And they haven't. So guess what? Now everything is on the table. I still think he's coming back here. I do still believe there are playoff runs to be made here. I definitely believe Belichick thinks that Tom Brady can still quarterback for the team, but at what particular price? That's what it's going to come down to. I said it last week on the show. I've said it on Greg's show. I'll say it again. I think Belichick is going to use up almost every last little bit of available time to go through every game, watch every throw, talk to McDaniels, consider every read that Brady could have or should have made, and say, was it the line? Was it the talent we surrounded him with? Was it our game plan? Or has Brady slipped a bit? And they're going to come up with a number, and then it's going to be up to Brady to decide if he likes that number. And if he doesn't, then we better be ready for the fallout, because it is going to be bad.
And you mentioned the Titans, and I do have to ask this, and I see the calls. We're going to get to one of you guys in a minute. But, the way that Ryan Tannehill's played, maybe Vrabel and Tom Brady had that conversation a few months ago. Maybe they had the conversation long before Ryan Tannehill turned it on and became one of the best and most accurate sort of pass throwers in the NFL this year.
Has had an amazing second half, but by the way.
Does that change the equation? The way that Ryan Tannehill has played, does that give a guy like Mike Vrabel a little bit of pause?
If they can re-sign Derrick Henry, it might.
Yeah.
So Derrick Henry is obviously priority number one for the Titans going forward. And by the way, Tannehill, just to show you how little you need from your quarterback in the playoffs, Tannehill has not thrown for 100 yards.
Nope.
In either of these games.
He hasn't, but he
got
them
there. Last week, the Ravens had 530. Let me just say that again. 530 yards of offense, 12 points. The Patriots scored more points against the Titans, by the way.
That's kind of crazy.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that's insane.
And they're an Edelman drop away from winning that game.
It is sports radio. You got to let it go. It's been a couple of weeks now. You got to let it go.
I can tell you every play that messed up every season where the Patriots didn't win a Super Bowl, and I'll live with them to the last day that I live here.
I know Edelman's drop was huge, but the play that I can't sort of get over was the Ben Watson catch and how that got called back. To me, that changed everything. The Patriots were driving. They had momentum.
Shaq Mason wandered down the field and just lost it. The whole season, I read a breakdown on SB Nation earlier this week. Actually, it was the tail end of last week. It was not that the Patriots really didn't have the talent. Again, it's what I've been saying a long time about this team. It was a margin of error year for the Patriots, and things just kept not going their way. And they made the kinds of little mistakes that undid their season much quicker than they normally would. And that's that.
It is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to Peter. Peter's in Jamaica Plain. Peter, you're next up here on the Oddballs.
Hey, guys. A little Celtics talk. I don't think Danny Ainge ever thought that this year was the year he was going to win the championship. I think he's building for the future. And I think we went on a 10-game winning streak. And I think everyone freaked out. We had the second easiest record in the NBA in the first half of the season. I think he's done a good job. I think our core of Tatum and Brown, Kemba, and I think people are forgetting about Robert Williams. I really think he was
playing,
counting him as the starting center.
Yep.
But, okay, Gordon Hayward's value, I think he's the best player on the team, okay? But he's very expensive.
Hold on, you think Gordon Hayward, basketball-wise, is the best player on the team right now?
Most complete basketball player. He can pass.
Is he like an Al Horford at this stage? I mean that with a tremendous amount of respect and love because I love Al Horford.
I say yes. Okay, but we'll go on from there.
Yeah.
I think he is.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
But he's being paid a lot of money and he's going to be a free agent next year. And in the free agent market, he's going to be one of the top two or three guys. He's going to get well over $100 million contract.
Yeah.
So why is he a valuable trade ship? I don't understand. What are you going to get back for this guy?
Again, if you're a Celtics fan that believes that this team is a center away, and you're looking at a guy like Steven Adams, you look at a guy like Tristan Thompson.
But why would Gordon Hayward's going to be a free agent next year?
There's value in trading for an expiring contract. So if you're a team trading away a veteran player, right, it means that you don't think you've got success in your immediate future. So a guy like Gordon Hayward going to a team, let's say the Pistons, because they're a perfect example. Let's say the Pistons called the Celtics and the Celtics were in on trading Gordon Hayward away for Andre Drummond. I don't like Andre Drummond.
Enes Kanter is better than Andre.
But let me just finish the point here, okay?
Okay.
So let's say that trade is one that both teams want to make. What's in it for the Pistons? Well, the Pistons not only want to get rid of Andre Drummond, they would also want to get rid of guys like Derrick Rose and Markieff Morris because they are about to go on a youth movement for the next 2 or 3 years and tear it all down.
Okay.
Gordon Hayward fits beautifully into that plan because he's an impending free agent. So that max money that you're giving Drummond, that comes off the books.
No, Gordon Hayward's going to be here for one more year unless he can sign. They're not going to sign him for a 4-year, $100 million. If they do, that's great. Okay? But I think he has more value to this team than anyone they're going to bring in here.
I wish...
The money just doesn't work.
Peter, I wish I could agree. I just have to respectfully disagree. You and I have had plenty of intelligent basketball conversations, but this one's frustrating for me. Gordon Hayward is the most complete player on this team today. I'll give you that. But he's not the best player on this team today. He's just not.
Isn't that a player option for next year? It's a 4-year deal he signed, and this is year three.
It's
of
a
the
player option.
Deal.
So if he decides he wants to play for the Celtics next year, he opts in.
Who wouldn't want $32 million?
Of course he's opting in. He's opting in, and that's it. But
like David Price was going to turn down no matter how thin-skinned he is, or no matter how big his pretend Batmobile has to be driving around the streets of Boston. Like he was going to say no to $124 million? Get out of here.
At least David Price was honest, though, when he was asked about why he signed here. He signed here because of the money.
Dombrowski offered me the most money.
Very honest about that.
And seen.
But here's the deal, though. You know, when Peter says that when Hayward reaches free agency, he's going to be one of the top two free agents on the market and command $100 million, I couldn't disagree more. Now, you know, if he's got a crystal ball that I don't have, and we see Gordon Hayward return to all-star form and stay at that form for the next year and a half, so the remainder of this season in through next year without going down with any sort of major injuries that cost him weeks or months at a time, then maybe we can have that discussion then. But based on what he's done from the Celtics' last game all the way back through his first game here against Cleveland 2 years ago, that is not a $100 million man.
No, it's not. It's not, and he's not going to get the chance to probably play for enough time to be able to look like the $100 million man because, like you said, Brad Stevens refuses to just say, like, okay, tonight's going to be a Gordon night. I don't know why they don't ride the hot hand. Are the egos that big in that room or on that bench, on that team, that they just can't, like, subvert what they need to do for a while or just be subjugated to having a 9 or 12-shot game and just being a complimentary player helping the entire team succeed? Because if so, then that's just obnoxious playground ball. And like you said, Brad isn't a strong enough voice. I don't want to jump out. I'm not going to jump on him now just because they're swooning a little bit. It's the middle of the season. But this is an interesting – this is a to me, this is a prove it or lose it season for Brad more than it is these players or the franchise.
And I will say this. We'll get to want to go
get one more Pat, call. One more Pat's call.
Let's go to
break, yeah.
Dan and Cranston. Dan, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Danny?
Fitz. I really think it's a simple equation with Brady. I really do. I don't think it's very complicated. I think if it's Belichick's choice, he's done. I don't think he'll even get an offer. Maybe they'll lowball him so that he'll insult them not to take it. But I think he's just done. If Kraft, at the last minute, jumps in, okay, I can see it. But I just you just can hear in Belichick's voice, even when he talks about Stidham, that he just wants to blow this thing up and just start rebuilding. He goes, I probably got, what, 3, 4, 5 years left to coach? He goes, I don't want to wait another year to start the process now.
I think Belichick, I do, Dan, I hear what you're saying. I think Belichick has more than just 5 years because I think he's sticking around. And there was a part of Tanguay's, thanks for the call. He's still on. Okay. Yeah. Part of Tanguay's report, thanks, Dan, was that Belichick was so mad about the trading of Garoppolo that he inquired into the possibility of coaching in Washington or New York, which is just insane to me. That's Antonio Brown throwing a bag of gummy junk at the police. Kind of insane to me, but okay, that's Tanger's report, and he'll stick by it. I don't think Belichick's not going to come out and say, you know what, we're just not going to offer Tom a contract. If there is anyone here who's willing to take that heat, it's Belichick because he DGAF does not care at all.
That's
I don't
not what
think
that means.
Kraft. What's that?
That's not what that means.
Yeah,
well, it's not what that means at all.
Okay, well, this is FM. These are the public airwaves. Kraft would never let him, though. So they're going to have, like, this is who, Kraft would never let Belichick come out and say, we've decided to move on from Tom Brady, because all that would do is, A, infuriate your fan base
Correct.
Almost as much as Tom Brady, who would then literally just move heaven and earth to find a way to get revenge against the Patriots and prove them wrong. That's why this is the most curious offseason for the owner of the team, who's been rather silent for the past year, save for a couple of bites and bits that have come out when partying with 50 Cent or leaking some information out after the season to Peter King. Because Belichick may not want to offer him a ton of money or just may think about moving on, but he knows the hit he's going to take publicly if he lets Tom Brady move on, whether he's played his best football or he's far, 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 far removed from his best football. And I think Kraft has got to be nervous about that. I would love to be in his mind the next 6 weeks.
What's so fascinating about the scenario that Dan sort of laid out there was...
And in his wallet. He's got a lot of money.
He does have a tremendous amount of money. But that scenario that was just laid out, imagine this and picture this, where Belichick and Brady and Kraft are sitting down, and Belichick lets Brady know, say, look, I'm not going to offer you a contract. You know, go play where you want to play next year. Thank you for your service. And then Robert Kraft sort of swoops in at the last second and offers Tom enough money to convince him to stay. If you're Tom at that point, how do you stay?
That's what I said before. If Belichick says, like, this is what you're worth, like $20 million to me. I'll give you 2 for $40 or something like that. Or just, I'm not that interested. And you know the contract's coming from Mr. Kraft. Why would you stay?
How do you do it? It's
I honestly don't see how you'd stay. It's what I said before.
Yeah.
It was the whole playground analogy. Like, if it's like, these kids don't want me on the team, but only like a parent or a teacher or a playground aide is going to force me onto the team. Like, I don't want to be on that team. I want to go where I know I'm wanted and valued, and not just by as much love as we give him, you know, as much adoration and dedication we have towards Brady. This isn't about the fans. This is not about the fans at all anymore.
All right, it is Sports Radio. WEI, it's Fitzy, it's Gilroy, it is the Oddballs. When we come back, there's more room for you. Everything's on the table here. Third and final hour at 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
More of what you want to hear, the Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
When you talk about a physicality that the Tennessee Titans bring to the table, what good is Tyreek Hill going to be if he's sitting on the sideline? Right. Because Derrick Henry and them boys are throwing people out of the club in on the line of scrimmage, and he's just beating up and bruising and battering people out there on the football field. So I don't think the Tennessee, I don't think the Tennessee Titans defense can necessarily stop the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. But what I think they will do is they're going to turn it into a street fight.
It's Damian Woody right there. And he's making a good point. And you and I talking before the show today about Tennessee. The question, really, the only question I have about the Titans is, can they sustain the level of play that they played the last 3 weeks? It's all 3 weeks have been on the road. They've been must-win games, and this team has come to play. And they played above their heads, in my opinion, all 3 weeks. Is that sustainable for the next 2 weeks, Fitzy?
Against a team like the Chiefs with a better-than-average defense, or at least a better-than-reputation defense, although their best defensive player could be out again tomorrow, and if he does play, he's going to be hampered, which is going to be an issue on the defensive line, which is exactly where you need a disruptive player like Chris Jones to be when you're facing a running back that, without any hyperbole, is legitimately playing the position more rugged, more violent, and more dominant than anyone we have ever seen in our football-watching lifetimes. Derrick Henry is the juggernaut, bitch.
Is the way that Derrick Henry's playing right now going to change the philosophy of other teams moving forward?
No, because there's not another Derrick Henry. I mean,
you don't think that teams will be reaching for a guy and talking themselves into running backs because of what Derrick Henry's done?
Everyone's looking for the new Sean McVay to coach.
Exactly.
Everyone's looking for the next Patrick Mahomes to move around and chuck the ball from anywhere and then switch it over and put it in his left hand, like Tessitore says. You just don't find them. These guys are freaks. I've always said professional athletes are really X-Men. And it's a lot of times it's mutations that allow them to be so successful because physically they just don't make a lot of sense. People that throw fastballs 98 miles per hour. A guy like Derrick Henry, you're not supposed to be 6'4", 250 pounds, and have breakaway speed. It just doesn't make sense.
It is Sports Radio WEI. It's the Oddballs. It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. Room
12,000 yards rushing in high school?
His high school numbers.
4,000 yards his senior. 450 yards and like 7 touchdowns in the championship. Why did everyone sleep on this? Why haven't we made a bigger deal before? And how long did it finally take the first-year offensive coordinator, Mike Vrabel, to figure out, wait a second, guys, you know what? If we just don't Mariota ourselves either to sleep or boredom or a deficit on the sidelines, if we just use Derrick Henry a lot, I think we can actually do something because this guy's good.
If people are bored and need something to do tonight when this show's over, just go online, Google Derrick Henry's high school numbers. You'll think that what you're reading is from The Onion. You're not going to believe it. It's like cartoonish crazy, but the highlights are there, the numbers are there, and it's like nothing you've ever seen before.
Wait, I didn't ask you. You watched the game last Saturday night?
Of course.
How much did you enjoy that? You can be honest.
I have never
schadenfreude at a game more in my life.
I mean, listen, I enjoyed it. And I enjoy football, right? I enjoy it. But it was hard at first, right? I wasn't sure if I was going to do it. Let's face it. You know, I was still a little bit heartbroken over the Patriots. And that sort of clouded the first few minutes of the game. But once I got into the game, I thoroughly enjoyed the rest of it.
I right from Jump Street, all I wanted to see. It wasn't even like, come on, Titans, show me you're the better team. Make me feel better about defeating the Patriots and giving them a much earlier than anticipated exit. It wasn't that. It was, man, do I hate the Ravens. Don't I want to see them for wearing sunglasses on the sidelines, for taking that obnoxious team picture after beating the Patriots on Sunday Night Football, and for Earl Thomas telling us that he was going to be in the Super Bowl and they couldn't wait to figure out who it was that was going to play them because they were going to be giving them hell. And the Pats, they looked like they didn't want any piece of Derrick Henry. Well, when you were getting spun around like a top when Derrick Henry was stumbling and rumbling and bumbling for 40 yards last week, you looked pretty bad, like you didn't want a piece of him either, Earl Thomas.
Yeah, but in a few weeks, and don't lie to me, Titsy, in a few weeks, if the Titans are Super Bowl champions in a couple of weeks, you are going to be feeling much better about the Patriots' loss because now
they already do.
Now it's justifiable at that point, right?
Well, it's never justifiable.
You
no
know what
such
I mean. You can live with it a little bit easier if the Titans ultimately wind up winning the Super Bowl.
It'll take a few less beers to nurse my crying Patriots soul to sleep.
It is sports radio, WEI. Let's get to some of these calls here. Let's go to Nick. Nick is in Weymouth. Nick, thanks for holding on, my friend. Drew, can you
pull you doing?
There you go. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, buddy.
They've got great players, the Titans, but I wasn't totally surprised that Dean Pease is going to do an excellent job. From 2004 to 2009, he did 6 years with the Patriots. He knows McDaniels. He knows Belichick and their philosophies over the years. For the next 8 years, he spent it with the Ravens. And he knows Harbaugh very well and all the offensive coordinators that they had. He just came to the Titans last year. So I think he needs a lot more credit for what he did. But I think his experience with those two teams helped him quite a bit. And I'm wondering if, conversely, he may not do that well versus the Chiefs. But, of course, the Chiefs got Andy Reid, and anything can happen with that guy.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Nick, because Dean Pease is kind of like a hidden player in both this particular run for the Titans as well as some of the Patriots' frustrations in the postseason over the past decade. When he was defensive coordinator for the Ravens, like you said, like, he knew Belichick well. He knew Tom Brady's tendencies well for spending 6 years there, for being the official defensive coordinator for a while. Like, everyone knew who the offensive coordinator was when it was Charlie Weiss, and then it was Romeo Crennel. And then they knew who Josh McDaniels was, but no one knew who the defensive coordinator was all those years when they put up those crazy numbers. It was Dean Pease. So
he's a hidden gem there.
That's right. He actually has been. He's sort of like one of the sneaky, successful storylines of this particular NFL postseason, and he's done a bang-up job. And I'll say, if anyone's going to come up with a game plan to slow down the Chiefs on offense just enough, because these teams played each other earlier in the season. It was one of the most entertaining games of the year, and the Titans won. And that was the game where the Tannissance, if you will, came to life, and we all said, holy moly, that word. I think the Titans are actually for real. Like, this team may go on a run. It was Mahomes' first game back, but Mahomes still played pretty damn well. Look, his separated kneecap looked fine on that jump pass that he threw for a touchdown to
Harden.
That is
true. So. I didn't agree with him playing in that game, by the way. I was so hell-bent against him playing that early on with that type of injury, but ultimately it wound up, I think, working out for them. I know that I'm asking for a lot here, and I know that Tennessee already beat KC once this year, but let's face it, it's a different time of the year. It's the postseason, and after what KC dealt with last year, they've been waiting for this moment for a calendar year.
Their boogeyman is out. If the path has ever been more prepared, if the runway's ever been clearer, if the conditions for a good flight have ever been more perfect for the Chiefs, I can't remember when. This is the ideal scenario. The Patriots are out of the postseason. Andy Reid only has himself. They should win this game tomorrow.
They should, but I desperately want to see them lose because I want to see what Nick Wright does on Monday morning. Nick Wright will not be able to live with himself if the Chiefs lose this game. This is everything that you just said is exactly the way that Nick Wright's been thinking all week. This is the year. The Patriots aren't there. The path is clear. This is nice and easy, and my team is going to the Super Bowl.
It's broken perfectly for the Chiefs.
And if they lose this game, Nick Wright might just walk away from TV altogether because it'll be no big loss except for you. I know you're a big fan, right? You're a big Nick Wright guy.
Huge fan.
Huge fan. It is sports
radio.
Better
at radio than he is.
WEI. Let's grab another one here. Let's go to Bill. Bill's on the car phone. Bill, you're up next year with the Oddballs.
Hey, guys. How are you tonight?
What's up, Bill?
Hey, you know, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the Tom Brady situation.
Okay.
You know, I think that, you know, all of the talking points that people have been raising, they're the same things we've been hearing all season long. I think the more interesting question is going to be an analysis of two things. One is easy, one is more difficult. The easy thing is, what do you think Tom Brady would actually settle for from the Patriots? Two parts to that, money and years. And I think that's, you know, we could figure that out, I think, or at least we could give it a really good guess. I think the harder question is, how high are the Patriots willing to go on those two items? And the two items, I think, are money and years. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of space between Belichick and Kraft. A lot of people are talking about Belichick coming in with, you know, a lowball offer of just 1 year and Kraft saving the day with multiple years. I'm not sure that there's going to be a lot of space between the two of them. But I really think that for Tom Brady, it's going to be he's going to want 2 years. I think he definitely wants to stay with the Patriots if he can. But more importantly, he wants to keep playing football. So I think that's the Brady side of the analysis. On the Patriots side, I haven't heard anybody really sit down and talk about, okay, how many positions do they need help at? It's a lot. And what is that going to cost them? And what can they end up affording to pay Brady?
Well, a lot of that depends on other factors. I'll give you an example. I mean, the McCourtys. Are they coming back? And if they come back, I think Devin made $10 million last year. The Patriots aren't giving. He was good, very good last year.
Still playing at a really high level.
But is he worth
it? I could see it. McCourty, I think, is a key to bring back. Slater might retire. If he's going anywhere, it's back to the Patriots maybe for one more year.
But the Patriots aren't giving Devin McCourty $10 million next year. So it's not going to happen.
Well, he's not worth $10 million now. He's worth more to the Patriots. I'll tell you this. He's worth more to the Patriots than he is anywhere else. And that's one of those guys who would really have to decide, is it worth an extra $1 million for me to uproot my family? They'll make him an offer. That's somebody they definitely want to keep around.
And right now, you know, Devin McCourty, he's already said he wants to play next year. Jason, I think, is going to play next year. They would like to play together. But I know for a fact, both of those guys, when their playing days are over, they have got the right people around them. They've got business endeavors that they've already started to work on. Those guys are going to be wildly successful in their post-playing days. So the moment that they feel like they're no longer contributing at an elite level on an NFL field, they're done.
They got a backup plan. And so does Tom Brady. But Tom Brady is damn sure certain that he's got a lot of elite level play left in him. And that's why he's going to continue to pursue it. And the reports are that he's working out as hard, if not harder than ever. Is that to come back and get what he thinks he deserves for the Patriots and fulfill the promise of this season that seems squandered? Or is it to go somewhere else and shove it in their face?
I was going to say shove it up their ass, but you're a classy.
Decided to clean it up on the airwaves. I wasn't sure we could say that.
You
can
definitely say that. It is sports radio.
Stay where the sun don't shine.
It's Fitzy. It's Gilroy. It's more of your phone calls when we come back right here on sports radio. WEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now back to The Oddballs with Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Final segment here. The Oddballs, Fitzy and Gilroy. Still some time and room for you guys. 617-779-7937. Let's get right back out to the call. So let's go to Mike. Mike's in Connecticut. Mike, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you?
Hey, Mikey.
Hey, Patrick, listen, I want to switch it up to the Celtics for a little bit. I know there's a lot of people ready to jump off the Tobin. They're in a little bit of a slump right now. But I'm not really that worried, because legitimately, if there's only two or three contenders in the East, it's Milwaukee, the Celtics, and if they play at their peak, probably the 76ers. Do I think we need to make some kind of big splash trade? No, I don't think it makes sense, because you have so much talent. what are you really going to get where it's going to complement, you know, what we have, even if you did make a trade? I just think that we need to sit tight, wait for something like maybe like a veteran big or something that's either on the buyout market that can actually contribute some meaningful playoff minutes, or not meaningful like as in 10 to 20. I just mean like good 5 to 10 minute stretches here in the playoffs. And then maybe, or just go out and get another shooter.
So
like, I know
there's Jamal Crawford's out there. So, you know, there's players out there that you could go pick up that are shooters. Mike, the only question that I have, and I know you know your basketball, is regular season basketball is one thing. And I don't worry about this team in the regular season. They've lost 5 out of 7 right now, but I don't see that being a long-term sort of situation for them. I worry about in the postseason, a couple of the teams in the Eastern Conference, whether it's Milwaukee or Philadelphia, those guys, they've got legitimate bigs, and teams with legitimate bigs can give the Celtics problems. And in the playoffs, you know this, it becomes more defensive-minded. It's a slowed-down version of basketball. There isn't a lot of up-tempo, not a lot of fast break. And in those situations, those front courts, I think, could do the Celtics in. That's my biggest fear with this team, is that they just don't have that guy. Mike, I appreciate the phone call. We're up against it. So, Fitzy, it's a big football weekend.
Yeah.
And I know the Patriots aren't there, and I know that that's hard.
You son of a bitch.
It's hard for you. I get it. But like you said before, entertaining football last weekend.
That's right.
More entertaining football on sort of
you
tap
only
for tomorrow.
Have 3 games left, people. Don't pretend that you're not going to watch it because, oh, you're so upset about the Patriots. I am too. They should have at least made it to the divisional round. I don't think they necessarily had AFC Championship or Super Bowl talent this year. Small margin of error, kid. And that's the same thing to be said about both games tomorrow. I'll go on the record. I'll give you my picks. I'm looking forward to celebrating my 46th birthday. Wear the day of football. I'll put it out there because I have no reputation to maintain in the first place. First game, AFC Championship. That Tennessee Titans rumble and stumble into Arrowhead to play the big beefs. Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are -7 and -53. Your final, Kansas City Chiefs 23, Titans 17. Give me the Titans on a cover and the under. Game 2, 2020 AFC Championship game. The Packers go back to play the San Francisco Treats about an hour outside in Santa Clara. It was a beatdown when they played about 7 weeks ago, and I don't care how familiar they are with each other, it's going to be a beatdown again. I will take the San Francisco 49ers in another romper stomper against the most overrated 13-3 team in history, 31-13.
So your Super Bowl is?
The Chiefs and the 49ers. Let's go, Jimmy G.
All right, so we're not all that far apart. 49ers. I got Tennessee. I got Tennessee winning 28-21.
Wow. Tennessee 28-21?
Yeah, I do. I think Tennessee is going to win this game. I do. I think they're going to remain hot, and I think Ryan Tannehill's going to put on one more show. I do.
And Derrick Henry's going to... I mean, listen, they sold out to stop Derrick Henry in the regular season. You know how many yards he had in that game that we all remember Tannehill running into the end zone and carrying them for? 188.
Yeah, that's a big number.
That's a big number.
Ryan Tannehill's going to light
Twinkie.
It up. He hasn't had a big game in the postseason. This is going to be it on a big stage. And he's tricked everybody. Next year, he'll come back, and he'll just be average Ryan Tannehill again.
Exactly.
So this has been fun. So listen, Fitzy, next week, I'm out of here. I'm not going to be here with you. I'll be in New Orleans with my friends watching the Celtics in New Orleans. I can't wait for that. Then the next week after that,
I'm not here for Super Bowl weekend, so the oddballs will remain intact just with other players. And we will be back together again the week after the Super Bowl.
It's tragic. It'll be a long 3 weeks without Fitzy in my life. But until then, we got to get out of here. Stay tuned to Sports Radio WEI. Bye-bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.